Fire up that grill, grab a buddy and a beverage, bust out the Blackstone if that is your grilling of choice. It is the morning tailgate on a Wednesday. Vinny, Vince, and Clay on a beautiful September morning. A little, I wouldn't say chill in the air,
got
but.
Got a jacket.
I got a jacket
got a
on.
Little, I like it. Sharp, by the way.
Thank you. It's, you know.
Chill Fox 5.
It's getting there. It's getting sweater weather.
Are those company
team issued
you don't have to pay gear for them? Do you guys have like a little shop?
We do have a little shop. They used to be called Fox 5 Bucks, but now, you know, there's no exchanging of
do they
paper.
Just take it out of your paycheck?
No, that's like a little point system.
Oh, kind of like the
yeah, you got to build your points up to get the sweet fresh gear.
Wow.
Yeah.
What exactly do you have to do to earn points?
You know, you being out in the community, being
okay.
A good member,
all right,
you know, donating some of your time.
Got it.
But as
like
I like
wellness
yeah, exactly.
Right?
As I like to say, you know, not a lot of time in the sports world,
so
can you just
how many points?
Well, this one was part of a Christmas gift, actually.
Wow. Okay, so you're like minus points, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Like you owe them
owe
stuff.
I'm definitely in the red.
If you get that for like a holiday gift, then I mean, you don't really need to do any community work
just
anymore.
Just gotta wait once a year.
Yeah,
just gotta wait once a year for a new one.
You just show up for the banquet and you get it. Oh, that's very sharp, very nice.
Yeah, the banquet. Yeah. We'll leave it there.
What's it supposed to get you today? Isn't it supposed to be like in the... Because I was debating. Do I go... At some point, I got to go long.
You got to go long.
Pants.
Yeah, you got to go pants. You got to put pants on, Vinny. You got to put the pants on.
I don't know if we're there yet. I heard that it was... It wasn't... Isn't it
yeah,
approaching
it's
100 today?
It was 100 yesterday.
Yeah,
it was gonna
there's no way.
Go back up again
zero
today.
Zero chance of pants.
I think it's next week.
Okay, good.
I think it's next week where we really see the drop, but I got to talk to my sources in the meteorology.
I haven't looked at the Denver weather yet. We're
it's,
going there
I bet
next
you it's
going
to be nice.
You think so?
Yeah, it's always nice. This in September, Denver's.
It's going to be October, by the way.
I've been in
Denver next week.
Oh, yeah,
it's
going to be October.
I've been in early October.
October's
it's
even
80
better.
80 degrees on Saturday.
Snowstorm
snowing
the next day.
On Sunday.
Yeah. That's Denver for you.
Holy cow. I never.
It's unbelievable.
I'd never.
If you can't tell by the tones in our voices, we're turning the page. We're
fall is coming.
We're on to Cleveland. We're on to the Browns. We are turning things upside
down. Did you burn the
book?
Did you burn the previous page?
As I said, the
flush
earlier
it,
week,
as they say.
I had a couple of Raiders people in the building ask me, you know, how much tape, how much do you watch of the game?
And you they get just, that too, huh?
Yeah, and they go.
The Raider fans that are in the
they just go,
they look at you like you lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
you get
100%.
That one.
Yeah.
Well, we just had.
Well, I mean the messages we get. I mean. I've been getting them more frequently now since I've been now a resident of this show here on the Morning Tailgate. I've been getting more of those saying, well, what's wrong? What didn't you do?
I know. I don't know. I was all in up in the press box.
We all were.
I saw you over there. You were
I can't tell you
focused.
How I was dialed in. I really try and
so
dial in because I certain drives I pick out certain things that I like to look for as well. You know, you watch the overarching game, but there's certain things I like to watch in the rhythm of the game depending on what's happening. I'm a big sideline watcher. Pull out the binoculars, kind of see
the body language.
A lot of I'm a big body language
body
guy.
Body language is important.
TV guys got to be big body language
for
guys because
sure.
That's how we. You know, project ourselves
right.
In such a manner. But we got a good show for you today. Coming up at 7:30, Marcus Johnson, Tape Don't Lie, and talking about tape we didn't want to look at. I'm sure it was a rough week for
as
Marcus
Max
Johnson.
Max Crosby says, Tape Don't Lie.
Tape Don't Lie. 7:30, Marcus Johnson will join us. Once a Raider, always a Raider. 9 a.m., former Raider. Grant Irons will join us, and he's pumped. Got the text this morning. He's very excited to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. A lot of things to talk about. His dad played for the Browns, was a team captain, one of the best Browns player in that franchise's history. He was born in Cleveland. So
Notre Dame guy.
Always finds a way. The Golden Domers always find a way, Clay. But the connections run rampant, so we're excited to talk to him. And then 9:45, Ash from Sam and Ash Law will be here to join us as well. 702-365-9200. Clay, the phones were lighting up before we got in on Monday. They were lighting up. After the show Monday, before
mm-hmm.
Tuesday, we didn't even get to everybody on Tuesday. So we're open for business.
People
once
were
again.
Feeling a certain
residuals.
Way. people wanted to express themselves and rightfully
and
so.
Receipts. Now, this is a week of business decisions. Who would have thunk it? September, late September, we're talking business. Thought it'd be all football. I thought we'd be all football, but here we are in the business decision world, and we're going to get to the
line,
Raiders.
Vincent.
We're going to get to the Raiders in a second, but business decisions in the college world, we have to start off with this because this is the news.
This is a doozy.
Matt Sluka, starting quarterback for the undefeated UNLV Rebels.
23rd ranked.
First time in program history they've ever been ranked in the top 25. Posted on X last night.
They didn't even play and they improved their ranking.
That's how good they are.
The rankers must have saw the practice they had last Wednesday because it was off the charts, I heard.
Well, Sluka was there. Not there this week because last night he posts on his X, Clay, that he is leaving the program to take a red shirt because of what he said. What was the proper terminology he
said? Representation.
Representation was not met. Now, we are obviously living in an NIL world. My sources, and when I say sources, my colleagues over at Fox 5, Paloma Villacana, who is as plugged into that program as anybody in Las Vegas.
I think we're all sourced right here, right? With Adam and Bill and Eddie.
Paloma is saying that she, her sources are telling her that Matt Sluka was offered more money from somewhere else. And then there's another report out there saying that not only did UNLV meet all of their NIL agreements, but the family, apparently, again, this is a report. We don't know 100%. The school has not spoken yet. But the player or the student-athlete in this particular case, his family hired an agent, and the agent felt his value has increased with a 3-0 start lifting this program to new heights. And so now he's going to get another year and presumably, obviously,
as well.
Let's back it up just a second.
Well done, Clay.
Matt played at Holy Cross last year. Right? He had 1 year left of eligibility. So he played his junior year of eligibility last year.
Correct.
He had one more year of eligibility. Obviously, he got to UNLV from Holy Cross. There was money involved. There was NIL money that drew him to Las Vegas. Now, he's saying that UNLV offered a certain,
He said the...
He's basically implying that there was an agreement on compensation. Let's just cut to the chase and call it what it is. There was an agreement on compensation that UNLV did not honor, and therefore he is leaving. Why is right now so important? Because if he played on Saturday, he would have exercised or exhausted his redshirt ability, which means that he would have no more eligibility in the college game after Saturday's game. So Saturday's game is extremely pivotal in the timeline because if he doesn't play, which he won't now, he gets to preserve one more year of eligibility. So that was what he said. What he implied was that UNLV didn't honor
whatever
it was.
He said, quote, "I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled." So that's, again, we're looking at semantics. I don't know if he's implying the university. I don't know if he's implying wherever else he
was getting a check. That's what he said.
Yes, correct.
That's what he says, and we have to clarify that because postmortem in Paloma's reporting over at the Review Journal. Obviously, we have reporters that cover UNLV as well. They're hearing a little bit different.
And it's
somewhere in between. He's been offered another bite at the apple by another program to play next year, which means obviously, in order to do that, you can't play Saturday's game and wants to get paid again, basically. And this other school, whoever that is, if this is the case, has offered a certain amount of money to play quarterback for them next year. And it sounds like, based on certain things that we're hearing, he went back to UNLV and said...
And said, up your offer.
Right, to basically cover what I'm going to potentially lose next year if I play on Saturday. And they said, no, we're not gonna do that. And he said, okay, thank you so much. I'm out of here.
Clay, how does this rub you?
What a time we live in.
The wrong way.
Especially for UNLV. Like, UNLV can't get a break, you know, just to have, like, sort of continuity at quarterback. But at the same time, this guy actually feels like he can springboard, you know, a 3-0 start into something larger for himself because he probably knows he'll never play on Sunday. That money in the next level. So I have to go and exhaust all options right now. Because this is, right now, is all I have.
And Vince and I were talking about this. you kind of understand that.
That's exactly, I mean, it's exactly
bad.
What I said
yeah.
to Vinny this morning. I said, I hate everything about this. I hate everything about this. And at the risk of talking out of both sides of my mouth, both things can be true. I understand it. I get it.
He's
not going to make a paycheck in the National Football League, but in all likelihood. And so if he's looking this as his like big payday, mm-hmm. big cat, I get it. That being said, I hate it.
Right.
I think it takes the entire essence out of what college football is. Here's this guy who wins the starting quarterback job in what was a true quarterback competition at UNLV, wins the job, elevates and helps this program to new heights that they've never seen before. And then no matter how you view it, no matter there's going to be people in this world that say he quit on the team.
Well,
he definitely
did that. There's not even any question about that.
Right, but there's going to be those that say, nope, you got to go out there and get your money. And then there's others, the football purists, they're saying you quit on your team regardless.
Either way, he quit on his team.
Agree.
Whether you agree with the reasons or not, he quit on his team.
What do you think about this? You talk about, we talked about Wild West last week. I mean, this is as...
Yeah.
Free range as it gets.
Right. And, you know, one thing as a journalist, you try to put things in perspective and put them in their proper context. What he's ultimately done now is turned one bite at the apple into two bites at the apple for him personally. There was no guarantee that anyone would ever come calling for next year unless he did play well this year,
right.
even if it was just for three games. But now he sees an opportunity to extend this. As Clay said, there's probably fat chance he's going to play in the NFL. He's not the best thrower. He's a great athlete and has been dynamic in that regard. But he's limited as a quarterback, and therefore his NFL future is probably extremely limited as well. Maybe in his ideal world, he's a Taysom Hill. Maybe that's what his NFL future would be. That's the only future he would have. And I'm not saying that he's Taysom Hill by any stretch of the imagination. That it would be something along those lines for him to play at the next level. So he's like, well, why not? So I get that. And I understand that.
I hate everything about it.
But there shouldn't be, like, this shouldn't be possible.
That's what I'm saying.
This shouldn't be, there has to be some, obviously there's a loophole that he is allowed to exercise, you
it's
know.
Become a business more than ever. We mm-hmm. we kind of joked when we saw Woj leave ESPN to take the general manager job at St. Bonaventure. But now you're sitting in stuff like this. You're now looking ahead, right? And even not even just next season. You're looking, we need to start getting contracts on these kids.
Retainers. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We need to put something in there saying I don't know how that works, because I understand the red shirt and he can stop playing and
that's
gets another
self-explanatory.
Year. Yeah, but they have to figure out a way to not allow this. I mean, what is Barry Odom thinking right now? Like,
how many other players are in similar situations right now and going, wait a minute, so if I play Saturday, I can't.
Right.
But if I don't, I might be able to make a little bit
of money. I was thinking that too. Like, how many other people are contemplating this? And like that, there's a time ticking right now for Saturday against Fresno State.
UNLV. I'm talking about across the country.
And I'm not even talking
about
just the players.
There's kids at Michigan.
I'm not even talking about the players. Now agents that are sitting there being like, oh.
Right.
Oh, I didn't even think of. I mean, agents are squirrely little.
Well, agent was definitely ahead of that.
That's what I'm saying.
It was definitely
ahead
of that.
But now every agent's going to sit there and be like,
yeah. Is it worth me knocking on the door? To say, hey, you know, I can line him up with another opportunity over in North Carolina or wherever. So you got to up the ante a little bit. Here's my thing. Now the other side of it, for me anyway. Short of UNLV completely reneging on whatever they agreed to do.
Whatever the deal was.
Right. Short of them doing that, which we can't sit here and say for sure that didn't happen.
Agreed.
All right. So we're not going to put it all on Matt Sluka just yet.
Agreed.
The truth will eventually, you would think, come out. Some version of it anyway. But if UNLV did meet all the requirements, if I'm his parents, I get it. The money is the only time in his life where he has a chance to make this kind of money in one lump sum like this. All right, I get that. But what are you sacrificing in terms of his overall development there's something to be said for integrity in life. There's something to be said about having morals. There's something to be said about if you agree to do something, you honor that commitment. When you make a commitment, you honor it. So he came here from Holy Cross to play this year at UNLV. I'm sure he had other suitors. He came here to play UNLV, gave his word. UNLV gave their word. They agreed on whatever the compensation would be. And if that was all, paid out and honored, this, to me as a parent, I wouldn't let my kid do this. I don't care how much money was being offered. I would say, look, you know, in life there comes a point where you can be one type of a person or another type of a person. And the minute you start being the other kind of a person, you're going to be on that path almost for the rest of your life. How about digging in a little bit here, being an adult, being honorable, and doing the right thing, because you made this commitment to this school. You made this commitment also to the fans, your teammates, your coaching staff, yourself. Honor it. I know you're not going to be able to make an extra $300,000, whatever it might be. That's what the rumor is that's out there. But you as a person, it's more important for you to honor your commitment than try to turn this into more money. That's just me. I would be sure that way as a parent.
And if you're trying to better deal yourself, I get it. And you'll see what's out there if you can. And maybe if even there's financial commitments as your family needs this money also. You never know how every situation is going to be different. But at the same time, just think about where you think you're going to be transferring to get the new bag of gold. There's a program out there that's probably already got their eye on two incoming freshmen at your position and probably another transfer that'll come in. You'll probably have three other guys that you have to battle for a spot for.
Doesn't matter
on
if you're
this
making
next team.
Your money, though. I don't think he even cares about that. He's thinking about this from a money perspective. There's nothing about playing. I don't think he cares about the playing time.
But what I'm saying is that maybe that money may not be there because they may have their eyes on somebody else.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's not like those contracts that you go and transfer to a school are set in stone either.
Yeah, I mean, somebody might pull the rug out underneath his feet. That's a possibility. But if you have an agent that's doing his job or her job, you're protected against that. Look at the UNLV quarterback from last year. He's not playing a lick, but I guarantee you he made a lot of money out of that going to USC, right?
100%.
So he doesn't care about playing at this point. He's probably not an NFL guy. He's like, I'll sit here for however long they want me to sit here. I had a friend whose brother has a son that's going, I'm not going to name the school because I don't even know if this is how legal this is. He's a high school kid right now, and the agreement is at the school that if you stay 4 years, you're going to get $2.1 million every year. So he doesn't even have to play if that is honored by the school. That's how much money he stands to make, whether he plays or not. So I don't know that Sluk is looking at this as a, you know, but to your point, the other school better, you know, has to honor that commitment. But aside from all that, you made a commitment to UNLV. That's where I'm coming from. And if they honored their commitment to you, then you're setting a bad precedent for yourself. And it's easy to start going down that path in life where you don't have any honor to yourself. And that's a bad lesson to teach your kids. Like if I was his parents, and maybe he told his parents the big middle finger, like, I'm an adult now. I'm going to do, maybe the parents did say, look, you did make the commitment to UNLV. You should stay. And maybe he's defying what his parents want, and if so, that's obviously on him. But if I was his parent, this wouldn't sit well if UNLV honored their commitment. If they didn't, it changes the entire complexion of that story. Then to me, he has every right to leave if they didn't.
Got to watch these transfers from Holy Cross, Vince. You know, you think like you're coming in from a program of honor and integrity.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I understand it. I never had an issue with players getting paid. If you can get paid while you play in college, that's good for you. But now we've reached a line.
It's a new precedent.
In the sand.
It's a new precedent.
That is not just a line in the sand, it's crossed. Holy crossed, dare I say. And yeah, it's a new age. And it bothers me because it takes, I'm a big commitment guy as well. So the integrity thing is a big thing, and people will sit there and listen to this and being like, well, you know, he needs to go get paid. Fine. But the integrity thing is a big deal to me. And for me, like, I go very microscopic into that UNLV room. Like, Barry Odom is there selling not just Matt Sluka. He's selling a collection of student athletes on one goal, right? Just like every college coach does. Barry Odom goes into those living rooms saying, look, and I get money and NIL is part of the deal. I understand
that. It has
that.
To be. That's the rules of the land.
I get it. But what I mean is there's also a commitment on his end, too. And agreed, if UNLV made those commitments, which by all accounts, it sounds like that was done. Again, we'll wait and see for the full story. But if UNLV made all those, I just hate everything about this. And it's tough. I feel for those guys in the locker room that, you know, and the coaches that put everything into that. I mean, we're in week four. Mm-hmm. Week four of the college football season for a program that has been littered with just devastating blowout losses, bad coaching hires, just not living up to any kind of expectations that you would want of a football program. And then they finally turn it around. Like they get it going. They start moving. That's tough. That being said, what an opportunity for Malik.
It is. It's a great opportunity.
Mountain West play opens up Friday night. Fresno State, what a moment.
Saturday.
Everything is still open for UNLV. And like you said, like there's of a history of a program that's yet to achieve back-to-back winning seasons in college football.
The other thing is
how crazy. That's a crazy stat.
Yeah, so they still haven't reached that point. But still, just on their way to that moment at 3-0, there's still going to be stumbling blocks on the way to that goal.
Yeah, so that's where
And it was a close competition, but we have to.
It was a very close competition.
So it's not like it doesn't feel like there's going to be this massive.
From a business angle.
By the way, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, Matt Sluka, from a business angle, he played his hand beautifully.
And one other thing that I want to add is, you know, we're obviously putting this, if it turns out that he's just turning his back, you know, for another payday, and UNLV did honor their commitments, you know, sometimes you put yourself in a kid's shoes. This, I don't think that this was, you know, something that he came up with himself. It's an agent. There's somebody out there that's telling him, hey, I got this lined up at wherever, you know.
And you know the agents hopefully warned him, being like, there's going to be a loud pushback when this happens.
And also that agent says, but who gives a rat's?
That's what the agent's saying.
Because
kids are young kids, and, right. And while they're making these decisions, these big boy decisions, like the vitriol that comes on, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, just the stuff on X and stuff, In the hours after he announces that, like a lot of these kids aren't prepared for that. They're ready to sign the saying, yeah, I'll get the big check, but a lot of them aren't ready for this.
Well,
so there's a lot that goes into this, and again, it's one of the top college football stories in the country right now, especially on a Wednesday in September where you have a ranked team's starting quarterback all of a sudden not playing. Because of business decisions,
right?
And Tudor's biscuit NIL, all you can eat.
And I would say that something has to be reined in with these agents. That's the point I was trying to make.
Agreed.
Because they're obviously, you know, this was. I find it hard to believe that he wasn't just sitting there going, again, if UNLV honored all of their commitments, like how can I turn this into another year of $300 or whatever, you know, $1,000? Somebody was saying, hey. Whoever his advisor is. And I don't even know how that works. Can you hire an agent right now? The family can hire an agent. I mean,
family,
I know that they're getting all these
I think
guys
the family
are getting representation.
Again, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on this part. I believe a family can hire somebody to help advocate. I don't know if it's technically considered a free agent. But
that agent's getting money out of this.
Yeah, he's got to take at least 10%, right?
Well, I don't know if it's 10%.
If he makes anything, I think that's the whole thing.
You wouldn't get involved if he couldn't make the 10%,
There's no chance that he's taking that this is a leap of faith. There's somebody out there, probably multiple schools, let's face it, that have made firm offers. Hey, if you're available, this is what we would be able to get you. Because we talked about Woj. What is he hired as? The general manager? That's the general manager's job now at these schools. There's people in these positions. They may not be called general managers, but they're managing the roster. So they're already looking ahead to next year and the year after. What are we going to do at quarterback next year? Like we've got nobody with any practical experience. let's start scouting out there. And so there are schools that are already working with these advisors or
advocates.
Advocates to say, hey, you know, I see that your guy, if he doesn't play one more game this year, he has another year of eligibility next year. Listen, we'd love to have him, you know, so that's kind of how that all works. But boy, I'll tell you what, it's setting a bad precedent, and you're asking these kids to make difficult decisions, because if you put yourself in Sluka's position, when's he ever going to get a chance to make this kind of money, right? And so there's a compelling argument being made from people outside or the people that are advising him that put these kids in not impossible situations, but it's a hard decision to say, hey, are you going to turn your back on $500,000, easy $500,000, just by doing this? Yeah, you're going to catch some flack, but who cares about the flack? Nobody, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You can let it affect you, or you can't let it affect you. And it sure is easier to let it not affect you when you have $500,000 sitting in the bank.
702-365-9200, Marcus Johnson, Tape Don't Lie, coming up.
More Silver and Black Talk with Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker, and Vinny Bonsignor. Everyone knows the tape don't lie. It's Marcus Johnson's job to tell us the story behind the tape with the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
And here he is, Marcus Johnson with Tape Don't Lie up on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and get the benefit, the content, all the action that Marcus and his crew provides, breaking down Raiders game film and providing the answers to so many questions after a game like we saw on Sunday. Marcus, thank you for joining us. All right, let's start with the offense. Do you start to feel that there are some trends going on and tendencies in Gardner Minshew's game that are becoming glaring?
Yeah, I think one of the things the Panthers really tried to exploit this past game was really keeping him in the pocket. So when you watched, you got into the film, you saw a lot of bull rushing from the defensive ends for the Carolina Panthers. They weren't trying to beat the Raiders tackles, getting around them or with speed rushes or, you know, chops and different those type of moves. They were really trying to get a bull rush. And the reason why you do that is because if you can get a bull rush, you can maintain the edges here, and you can keep a quarterback inside the pocket. So what you saw was some of the sacks that Gardner Minshew got. It was when he didn't like what he saw, and he would try to escape. So when he didn't like what he saw, he tried to escape. There was nowhere to go because, you know, Clowney and the other defensive end, what they were doing is they were bull rushing and keeping him inside the pocket. And then you saw the same thing from the interior guys. That was their whole game plan, was to keep Gardner Minshew in the pocket, make him throw the ball from the pocket, make him read the field from the pocket, and not let him out of the pocket. And since we saw the offense kind of struggle a little bit. He was very uncomfortable back there. And as the game went along, he got more uncomfortable being in the pocket that much. And that was the Panthers' whole game plan, was to make Gardner Minshew throw the ball from the pocket, and he just wasn't able to do it. And there's a lot of plays on the film that he missed, a lot of big plays. You know, Trey Tucker could have had a bigger game than he already did. And, you know, those things really showed up on the film. And the main thing was because the Panthers were like, we're going to keep you in the pocket and make you read the whole field.
All right, so it sounds like you're saying that there were plays to be made, and he had enough time to make those plays. Or is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, there are definitely some plays to be made that he had big misses in this game. Like the one play where he ran for 10 yards on the 3rd and 11, Trey Tucker's like wide open on a comeback route, and Trey Tucker actually runs a great route. He gets J.C. Horn to commit to the deep ball, which they've been doing. He's been running deep and beating J.C. Horn and some of those guys. He beat him earlier in the game on a deep ball that Gardner Minshew ended up missing, and he's able to sell it and then stop on a corner route. He was wide open with a lot of space. I mean, Jacoby Myers is wide open on that play too. There was a whole lot of space around Trey Tucker, and it felt like he just dropped his eyes immediately and was trying to make a play and try to get out of the pocket, and the Panthers wouldn't let him get out. So then you saw, it happened later on in the game too, when they're down 33-7. It's not a big deal, but he had a play where he had Adams and Tucker wide open, and he just wasn't able to see those guys. I mean, I posted another clip on Twitter where he was missing Brock Bowers and ended up, actually taking a sack on that same play. So that was the game plan for the Panthers, was we're going to make you throw the ball, and we're going to make you try to see the field, and we're not going to let you get out of the pocket so you can get better vision or whatever you like to do, especially not let you get out to the right, which you like to do. So I think that was the game plan for them. And, like, the only times they rushed around is when you saw him kind of get out of the pocket and run for that first down. But other than that, It was you're gonna read the field, you're gonna try to see everything around, and he just wasn't able to do it.
I'm not advocating for a quarterback change or anything like that, but I want to ask you this. With Aiden O'Connell, there really is no inclination to start moving around at the earliest notice. In the pocket, that's not his skill set.
Yeah.
So do you think, would you think that he would offer the Raiders a better option, just being a quarterback that is more likely to just stand in the pocket and make the throw? Sometimes he'll get sacked because of that, but gives himself a better chance to just see the field and make those throws downfield, because that's kind of who he is as a quarterback.
Yeah, and I think what would be better with AOC on the field is just he would keep them on schedule more often.
Yeah.
And maybe you won't see, more exciting plays, and it might be a lot more boring to watch, but he's going to keep them on schedule. And, even when he came in the game late, there's still some throws that you'd miss. I would say Gardner Minshew's more accurate than AOC, and that's part of the reason why they went with him. And, just from watching the last drive and then watching Minshew for the first three games, there's definitely – Minshew is a pretty accurate quarterback, but he has to be able to see it to throw it. So if he's not seeing it, he's not throwing it, then we're not even getting that accuracy at all. And I think AOC is going to be able to see some of those plays. Like, they ran the same concept that Minshew missed Bowers on, and he and AOC, when he came in, he hit Myers on time, right when he was supposed to. So, it's a little bit of that. It's going to be a little bit of difference of there, things being more on time, things, reading the field. But I think there might be some throws that AOC might miss that Minshew wouldn't miss. But, AOC still might throw the ball, though. And I think AOC kind of avoids sacks in different ways. Like in Jacoby Myers, late in the game, he had Jacoby Myers on a short throw, ended up being kind of skip hopping to Myers, but that was more him just getting rid of it to avoid a sack. And I think the Raiders need more of that a little bit sometimes. But, that's really the difference, is that AOC might miss some throws that Minshew wouldn't miss, but he's also going to throw the ball when he needs to. So that's going to be a little bit the difference there.
Marcus Johnson, Tape Don't Lie. Marcus, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this was probably the most viewed tape of week three for the Raiders after Antonio Pierce calling out his team, saying business decisions were made. Everybody became a tape expert and film expert on what they were or were not seeing. I'm curious, when you hear that from the head coach Antonio Pierce, and then as you do, you break down the film, and to the point, film don't lie. I mean, you see it. What did you see?
Yeah, I did see there's some lackluster effort in this game. I think there's just times where it was just so confusing, especially on defense. I think Antonio Pierce made that comment because how the defense played. And, it was like one of the first times where you saw the defense just really look really confused. And I think, to me, I think they got outcoached a little bit too, and I think that's why they look so confused on the field. But like, there's times where, like on the play to Xavier Leggett, like Trayvon Moehrig stops for some reason, and I don't know what he's watching. It felt like he was just watching the play. And same thing with Robert Spillane on that play. Like, last year Robert Spillane picks that pass off, but this year I felt like he was just like, I don't know. I felt like he was a little lost out there with the game plan that they had, and I think the Panthers kind of just caught them off guard. And, when you get into week three and on, you have the NFL teams have film on you. There's two games of film, right? So you have two games of film they're watching the Raiders' tendencies, and that's what the Panthers attacked, was all the Raiders' bad tendencies that they showed the first 2 weeks. And it was really exposing itself. But then you saw the Raiders missing tackles, maybe like, standing still, letting some guy run past them, not going full speed trying to tackle somebody. I saw a lot of weird things that you didn't see from the defense the first 2 weeks, and honestly, under Antonio Pierce this whole time, we've seen him. So I don't know, maybe they were feeling themselves a little bit after the Ravens game, and they just didn't take this game as serious, but that's what it felt like. It felt like one team came in there very prepared. Like, the Panthers were ready for everything the Raiders did, from how they stopped the run. They're ready for their runs. They knew their run tendencies, they knew their pass tendencies, and they knew the same thing on defense. And the other team just felt like they just weren't as prepared as the Panthers were, and it really showed itself, and that's why you saw some of that lackluster effort in them looking lost, and especially from the safeties, Shad Epps, he had two ACLs, so we're not going to see him this year, but, just the effort from the safeties, and even, some of the corners, they had some really lackluster effort in the back end, too. It was just bad football all around. It was hard.
Since you brought up the corners, I just want to ask you, Pat McAfee kind of spotlighted a guy like Jack Jones. He's a name everybody on X keeps bringing up. Jack Jones actually responded on X last night But I'm curious, you brought up the corners. Did you see something that I guess we weren't seeing?
Yeah, it was the whole secondary, though. So
yeah. It wasn't just one guy. I mean, you're seeing just a collective.
That was the problem. I'm sorry, real quick to interject. That was the problem with what Antonio said. Because now it leaves every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there to go to the tape. Oh, it was him. Oh, it was him. Oh, it was him.
Yeah.
And that's unfair. That is completely unfair. If Antonio wants to send that message, go to the players and talk to them. Don't leave it to – because now, especially with social media, because and Jack's like, I didn't make a business decision. Maybe what we saw in the film may have looked the way it looked. I also know he was hurt. So,
but that's why I wanted Marcus to kind of point this out.
But even Marcus is just making an interpretation.
And Marcus is sitting there saying it's not just one guy, right? Well, I mean, is that
in his,
fair?
And I'm not knocking you, Marcus, but in your humble opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you're saying, Vinny, because that's what it did. You know, NFL Pro this year is $14.99. It's cheap. It ain't $100.
Right.
Everybody's going to be able to go deep dive in the film as soon as it drops at 6 o'clock in the morning. And you see it all over the film, and people are trying to find what happened. But to be honest, I mean, it's easy to tell. I mean, you know, I've been watching the Raiders for years, and you know, I've seen some really bad Raiders teams, and seeing some of the effort from those bad Raiders teams, it really reminded me of this game. And, you know, and on the episode that we did today, I told Matt that 2017 the Raiders had a awful week three against the Commanders, now who are called the Commanders.
Yeah.
And that's what that game really reminded me of. It just felt like, because to be honest, it wasn't even about so much about effort. It just felt like they weren't prepared.
Right.
Like they weren't ready for the game. And it really showed in the effort, and it looked bad because these guys they were a little bit lost out there. When you look lost, the effort doesn't look good. So that's a little bit of what it was too. But you're right. I mean, when you say those type of things, people are going to go try to look for those things, and that's going to, and people love to go viral too. So, I mean, that's a big thing these days. People are going to try to find something and push it.
Right. And guys are getting put on blast as a result.
And Marcus, just as we wrap up, what did you notice? Were there tendencies in the run game, either tells by the offensive line, that allowed the defense to understand where the run was going? Because you outlined several plays that showed that.
Yeah. It felt like they knew everything that the Raiders were going to do, from the pass game too. Like, the Raiders like to run a lot of quick outs. They had the cover three that the Panthers like to run, and it's called a curl flat player that plays outside. The safety comes down, he plays kind of outside the numbers. They were extra outside the numbers this week because they wanted to stop those out routes. Sometimes when they would get certain alignments in the run game, like I showed a clip, they're starting to cheating towards that way before the play even happened,
right. And
they were right. They were blitzing on the during the run game too a lot. They weren't blitzing in the pass game, but on the first and second down, they were blitzing because the Raiders have a tendency to run on first down a lot. I mean, they run on first down more than they should, I believe, and I think they got to try to change that up and do more play action on first down and switch it up. But that's what the Panthers are doing. They're blitzing Josie Jewell every single first down that would happen, and they're, you know, blowing up some of those plays, and they would know some of the things the Raiders like to do and how they block. So they maybe would have like a linebacker wait a little bit, and Andre James would pass him, and then he'd go right make a tackle. It was they got outcoached. I mean, that's basically the whole game, in my opinion. They were outcoached from offense and defense.
Follow Marcus on X at TheMarkJohnNFL and Tape Don't Lie on YouTube. Marcus, this is fascinating stuff. Thank you for coming on and breaking it down. We'd like to find out more as we go into next week to see if there's a break in the tendencies. Thank you again for your time.
No problem. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Tape Don't Lie on YouTube.
And I think that was really important. That's why I wanted to ask that question, because Jack Jones's name has been brought up the last 3 days. Pat McAfee on the show brings him up. Jack goes to his own defense now, because again, we talk about these players not hearing the noise and all that stuff. It's impossible when you're being tagged in everything. So
the most popular sports show on television right now just put him on blast. That's, you talk about impossible to hear, right?
So when Jack Jones sits there, man, I gotta go post on X now. And
that's the mistake that Antonio made.
And he sits there and he admits, he goes, look, I understand. I didn't have a good game.
Right.
He admits it. It's fine. Like, that happens. But you have to defend yourself. It becomes a thing where you have to defend yourself, because now people are questioning the whole thing that we talked about with Matt Sluka. How much you want to be a part of, how much you're giving to the team, right? That was now put into question because one of the most popular shows on TV.
Well, it was the original mistake, though. What I'm saying is, I don't think Antonio should have said that. And I respect the heck out of Antonio Pierce, but he started this. Nobody would be talking about this the way they're talking about it, and had the coach not so publicly said it. And I know that there's frustration, and I know that there's emotions, and I know that, like he said, and we gave him an opportunity on was it Monday to not walk it back, but to maybe, you know, put it in different perspective. And he goes, "I don't bite my tongue." And on one hand, I totally respect that about Antonio Pierce. But you're opening that Pandora's box by handling it the way you did, when it would have been probably, I think anyway, a lot more, whether effective or just better, just go to the players themselves and say that to them face to face, rather than putting it on blast so that it opens up for, you know, and like I said, Marcus understands where I was coming from. Of course he's going to go scour the tape at that point and make his own quote-unquote interpretations on who he might have been talking about, Antonio Pierce. So I just think it was handled incorrectly by, you know, maybe it's a rookie mistake. Maybe, you know, there's some things that, you know, as Antonio has told us, he's not going to be the perfect coach. He's going to learn along the way. I do wonder if this is one that he will learn from.
And Clay, that's why I wanted to double down on that question when he asked, because I wanted to make sure what Marcus's point was getting across was, I wanted it to be as loud as possible that he didn't see, as someone who studies tape and has been studying tape on this team in particular for years, he didn't necessarily see guys making business decisions. To his point, and I'm quoting him, it was a coaching issue.
Right.
They were out-coached. That is what he was saying. So that's why I gave him the opportunity. What did you see?
Right.
And he didn't see business decisions. He just says an ill-prepared team.
Did you see what Devontae said yesterday?
He was on the Kay Adams show.
On the Kay Adams show. He said at first he disagreed, but as he watched it, maybe there was some living to see another day. And you know, especially with the injuries that the Raiders have had, maybe there's some prudence in that from players that's like, look, go up here and be as physical as possible and maybe get hurt and not be available for next week, or maybe I can approach this tackle strategically so that I don't get hurt. So maybe there was a little bit of that going on as well. But either way, I'm a firm believer that that probably didn't need to be put out there the way it was put out there. I understand why he did it, and I respect the heck out of Antonio Pierce. But maybe in the future, that's something that in your film work, which that'll come across on the film. Hey, Jack or whoever, what were you doing right here?
Yeah, because anytime you have a bad game defensively. Now they're going to keep bringing it up.
It's out there now, yeah. And people are going to be scrutinizing, and sometimes it's unqualified people doing the scrutinizing, like just making, you know, interpretations that might not be based on accuracy, just an opinion. And now all of a sudden, now Jack Jones or whoever is having to defend themselves as a result.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the morning tailgate. Boy. That hour flew by. We buried the real lead of the day, gentlemen. It's National Lobster Day.
How do we do that?
On the morning tailgate, where food is a big topic. I don't know how we got. That's crazy. And the fact that you didn't present us, Clay, with
a Maine lobster.
A Maine lobster. Maybe I'm disappointed.
A poached buttery. Garlic buttery lobster from Chickies and Pete's.
What are That's you on thinking? Me. What are you doing?
All right, then I'll be right back. I'll go get us a poached Maine lobster Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Isn't it supposed to be the new guy sets it all up? What are we just allowing this?
Yeah, but I don't want the fox jacket getting stained with the garlic butter, because you can't get that stuff out. You can spray and wash that thing all you want. It's not coming out.
You know, I have a thought. Do I wear the jacket inside? Are they going to say something?
Well, it's definitely dapper. It's a dapper jacket.
So we want one, exactly. We don't have one, we want one.
Christmas is coming, boys.
How many points do I need? The points.
Fox bucks.
I know a guy.
Maybe apparently you don't.
They'll have to have a sit down.
What's the most points you spent on some gear?
I don't know how. The other thing is on this shop. It doesn't say how much each item like cost in dollars. It just says the points. So I really don't know how much this stuff costs. So I spent 60 points one time on a Hockey in the Desert, my hockey show that starts next week, by the way, on Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network.
Hockey in the Desert
Hockey
Weekly.
Hockey
in the Desert Weekly.
Starts next week. Channel 5. Fox 5 and Silver State.
What time?
Let's go.
Good question.
Good question. TBA. So if I got the
to be announced. So get the DVRs ready.
If I had my TV guide, if that even existed.
Clear the queue so you have at least 30 minutes to record and record the series Hockey in the Desert Weekly, because we're all busy.
We're all busy.
But so that kicks up next week. So I spent 60 points on the wife's sweatshirt, a Hockey in the Desert sweat, you know, walking billboard.
Best days when I covered baseball, being in the clubhouse when the rep of whether you're a Nike guy or this guy or guy, whenever that dude came in and started taking your orders, and you know you'd be sitting at Matt Kemp's, you know, talking to Matt Kemp, and that guy would come over. I want the 10,000, not that many, but you know you could get whatever you wanted,
right.
And it was like, you know, I need 5 of these cleats. I need these wristbands. I need these batting gloves. I need this underneath. And it's just like every week is Christmas. It's probably about once a month that the guy would come.
There's a hockey player for the Golden Knights, won't name names, but he gets 4 sets of skates per month.
Yeah. Right.
Which that is a high number for new skates. Despite how much they play, that is a very high number of skates.
How long does it take to break it?
That's the other part. Well, they can do different things.
Like that's a glove thing.
They take out the sole. They can warm it to your foot, and it kind of molds and bends.
It's a big operation in hockey. You have that grinder over there.
I mean, each stick is $200.
Yeah.
A stick. But I mean, you know how many sticks they go through?
Yeah. It's like a construction site. Walking into
it's a lumber yard.
It is a lumber yard. You got sparks flying and stuff.
All right, Clay's gonna go get some lobster for everybody here on the Morning Tailgate. Hour number 2 coming up.